This call is being recorded.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for this day, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Father, we thank you for every individual who is on the call this morning. And Lord, we ask that the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge would be ours. We ask now that you would disclose your mind, your will, your purpose to us in the name of Jesus. And we vow to give you glory. We vow to give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, people of God. Again, I want to thank everyone for being with us in our series that we have been teaching. Amen. We are dealing with, again, our series in the area of deliverance entitled, if you take a note, A Destined and Determined Desire. Deliverance, A Destined and Determined Desire. Amen. And we're actually in the area now. We're in the third part of our series entitled Deliverance, the Defining Moment of Our Declaration. Everybody say that with me. Deliverance, the defining moment of our declaration.
Deliverance, the defining moment of our declaration.
Absolutely. We're dealing with, again, this second part of our deliverance series, defining moment of our declaration, which means every act of deliverance must become a defining moment for the believer. Every act of deliverance must be a defining moment for the believer. In other words, the deliverance has to become a defining moment, which means whatever you are dealing with, whatever is going on in your life, God is now giving you the authority to begin to define it, to begin to discern it. There is another level of discernment that God is now going to give to you and I in the body of Christ concerning the things that we are presently dealing with, whether it's affliction, whether it's oppression, whatever we're dealing with, the Holy Spirit now is giving you and I insight. And that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. And so we are very serious about when it comes to what God has for us. Amen. And so, again, I'm going to go real quickly through this real quickly so I can get to what I need to today. I'm not going to be long because we got to pray for some things this morning. Amen. And we deal with last week. Again, if you're taking note, I'm going to say some things again so we can go back to where we need to get to. And we're dealing with how oppression and bondage leads to strongholds. Write that down. Everybody say that. How oppression and bondage leads to strongholds. Oppression and bondage. Oppression leads to bondage. Oppression and bondage leads to a stronghold. So I need everyone to declare with me how oppression and bondage leads to a stronghold. All right. Again, we're going to look at two scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6, and Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Who's going to be my reader today? Who's all on this morning? Hallelujah.
Give us the scripture again, sir, please.
The scripture again is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. And and Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 6. Acts 8:18-23. Hallelujah. So, Sister Linda, you mind being my reader this morning? Are you busy this morning?
I was sharing my phone, and so I have to have it on.
Okay. No problem. All right. Well, I guess since everybody, so I guess I'll be the reader this morning. I know a lot of people got a lot of things going on. Amen. So, again, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. When you're there, please say amen.
Amen. Hello. I'm there. I can read.
Huh? Who is that? Who said that? Brother Kathy?
Oh, you know my boy. Amen. Yeah, I said I can read.
Okay. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians. Let's all go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, we're dealing with how oppression and bondage leads from stronghold. Okay. Start reading the verse 3. Start at verse 3-6. Yeah.
Okay.
It was 4, but I wanna go to verse 3. I just remember when I got to the scripture. Start at verse 3. Second verse chapter 3, verse 3-6. All right, let's go.
All right. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my
you're in the wrong scripture.
My bad. I was on 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. I wrote this same unto you, least when I came, I should have sorrow from them for whom I ought to rejoice. Having confidence in you.
Hello, Kathy. You're not in the right scripture. I'll read it. Let me just read it. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it. Okay. The Bible says, just pay attention, everyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-4, the Bible says this. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not. Can everyone do me a favor and mute yourself real quickly? Can everyone mute yourself? I need everyone to mute yourself. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3-6, it says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, don't miss this, the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that deal with the warfare we're dealing with, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Do you see that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshy. They're not carnal. Amen. But they are. The weapons through God, they are purpose for the stronghold. The weapons is for the stronghold. The weapons pull down the stronghold. This is the part I need you to understand. The weapon, and so in this moment, what we're talking about is the defining moment of our declaration, again, that we must define, listen to this and pay very close attention, we must now define the weapon that God uses, that God is going to use for this specific warfare. There are certain weapons that God has purposed for you to use for the present day warfare that you're dealing with. Now, let me give you an example. There's a variety of weapons, and we all know what a lot of them are, but when you go in prayer, the Holy Spirit is going to specifically tell you what weapon you're supposed to be using. He might tell you he wants you to declare some promises. He might tell you to plead the blood. He might tell you to fast. He might tell you to worship. There are specific instructions that God is going to give you concerning the present day warfare. And God tells you those things. Why? Because he understands that the weapon he tells you to use is not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And we define stronghold. We're going to get to that in a minute. Look at verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations. The New King James says arguments. Sometimes there's arguments that we have in our own mind. Amen. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that, listen what it says, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Remember, whatever the enemy's purpose to do is not just against you. It's against the knowledge of God. Why? It's what you know about God. Why? Because what you know about God can actually destroy his kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Don't miss this. See, the enemy's purpose is to attack the knowledge that you have of God and the knowledge that you have about him, the weapons that he's using. Why? Because he knows that what God has armed you with has the power to destroy his kingdom. So that's why the Bible says, my people are what? Destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. The enemy's objective is to keep you ignorant concerning what God has, concerning the weapons, to keep you ignorant of the knowledge of the power of the weapons that you have. In other words, he's not going to let you to understand the true power of the blood of Jesus. Why? Because he knows that it was actually the blood of Jesus that actually defeated him. It was actually the blood of Jesus that defeated him. So the enemy is going to try to keep your mind from coming into knowledge concerning the power of the blood. Amen? Or whatever weapon that God is telling us to use. Look at verse 5 again. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, don't miss this part, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is what God has empowered you to do. God has actually empowered you, man and woman of God, how to bring your thoughts, your mindset, into the obedience of Christ. He empowers you to bring every thought into captivity. Every time the enemy, why? Because the warfare always begins where? In the mind. It always begins with your mind. The enemy wants to attack your mind. Amen? And that's why you got to renew your mind on the word of God. So let's move fast because we got to get somewhere this morning. So we talked about different areas of bondage, okay? The first one we said was the bondage of iniquity. We're going to get to Acts chapter 18 in a minute, but let me get this out. The first one we talked about, the bondage of iniquity. Okay? Now, the word iniquity, again, it means gross injustice or wickedness. Gross injustice or wickedness. That's what the word iniquity is, okay? It is a continuum. Number two, we talked about in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Write these scriptures down, Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Number two is the continuation that leads to bondage. If you look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, don't have time to go there. We'll get to that later, okay? Number three, your presentation and your obedience to sin that leads to bondage. One of the purposes of the enemy is to influence you back into sin. The very sin that Jesus delivered you from, the very sin that Jesus died on the cross to actually liberate you from. See, you got to understand, people, you have been liberated from sin. Amen. And so the enemy's purpose is to get you to go back into the very thing you've been liberated from. Okay. Number four, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number four, your willingness, willingly submission. In other words, willing submission, according to the scripture, is 2 Peter chapter 2, hallelujah, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. We're going to go there real quickly. Let's go there real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 19. Look what it says. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is what? Brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the world. Now, that's very interesting. You know, I got to read that again. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible actually says that you escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of Jesus, which means if you're going to escape the pollution that's in this world, is going to come through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I love the Bible. When you just meditate on it, I'm telling you, the word comes alive. So for if after you escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, look what it said, they are again entangled, trapped, again entangled in them and overcome. And the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. There's a passage in the scripture, don't have time to go there, but I just want to clarify it. It says that when the enemy leaves a person's life, the Bible says he wanders looking for another place. And when that house is swept clean, the Bible says he comes back with seven demons worse. And see, what people got to understand is this, that when you get liberated, people, God, when God liberates you or delivers you from something, you must replace that area in which you have been delivered. In other words, when it comes to the things of God, you're going to have to fill yourself with the word. You can no longer have no reservoir. You can no longer have a place where the enemy has access to get back in. Amen? You cannot allow the enemy to have access back in, okay? Now, we number five, we talked about in John chapter 8, verse 33 through 36. Number five is practice sin that leads to bondage. When you are practicing sin, it will lead to bondage. When you constantly practicing sin, don't miss this, you're actually operating in iniquity. Write that down. When you're actually continuing practicing sin, it leads to bondage. and you're actually operating in iniquity. Remember, gross darkness, that leads to, and on those things leads to strongholds. Now, we defined last week strongholds, and we said that strongholds are an impregnable military settlement or fortress that is established as a base from which to stage battle. In other words, in time of war, the armies would build a fortress for protection. Amen. And we said that the enemy, the Bible says the enemy walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for a way in. The enemy always looking for a way in. And a lot of times, we give the enemy access. And one of the ways we give him access is, number one, is what's coming out of our mouth. We got to be careful, people, what you are speaking. Because a lot of times, when you begin to speak certain things, you actually give access to the enemy. When you start declaring, well, I'm depressed, guess what? You just gave the enemy access. Oh, I'm in poverty. Oh, I don't have no money. You just gave the enemy access. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You just gave the enemy access. So one of the things you got to be very careful is what you are speaking. Amen. Remember, deliverance is a defining moment, and sometimes you're going to have to define what's coming out of your mouth. Are you speaking faith, or are you speaking unbelief? Are you giving the enemy access to get you back into bondage so he can subject you to strongholds? Amen. And we talk about two types of strongholds, godly and ungodly. And we said godly strongholds are built on truth, and ungodly strongholds are built on lies. Lies in your mind, your will, your emotions. Amen. And what they do, they provide protection for the enemy and staging error for which he can wage warfare against us. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Hallelujah. Now, pay attention. These strongholds are developed from footholds of willing submission. And they always begin, we said, it always begins with your speech. James chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, if you want to write that down. Okay, let's go real quickly to Acts chapter 8.
Acts chapter 8.
Hallelujah. And I want you to go to verse 18.
18. May I redeem myself?
No, okay. Yes, yes, you can. Okay. I want you to start reading at verse 14 all the way to verse 18.
Okay. Now, when the apostles, now am I right? The apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Hey, glory.
And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, and he offered them money.
He read all the words to verse 23.
Okay. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you, with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchase with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in bond of iniquity.
Notice, and bondage, notice what he says, you are, it says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Remember, with iniquity again, it is gross darkness, okay? Amen. It's injustice and gross darkness, okay? So he said in verse 22, repent therefore of this wickedness. It has to do with wickedness. Iniquity has to do with wickedness, okay? And pray of God, perhaps, that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by the bitterness and you are bound. Everybody say you're bound by iniquity. In other words, you've given the enemy access to actually bind you. Simon actually gave because of his prideful heart, because he thought he can purchase the things of God with money. He says, "For repent therefore of this wickedness and pray of God perhaps that the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven for you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and you're bound." This is the part of you're bound by iniquity. So once you are constantly in it, it has the power to bind you. And again, it starts with the mind. So we said again, a stronghold, again, is this. A stronghold is an inner influence that distorts our mental ability to process the truth. I'm going to say that again. A stronghold is an inner influence. It's where the enemy has access to come in to influence you, and that causes your mind to be distorted. Distorted from what? The truth. Why? Because the Bible says the truth shall what? Make you free. Oh, people of God, it's the truth that makes you free. So if the enemy wants to cause your mind to be diverted from you, you can't get free. Why? Because he has influenced your mind. He starts speaking lies to you. He starts speaking lies to you. And guess what? The thing you begin to do is you begin to agree with what you are hearing.
Yeah.
Whatever the enemy tells you, you start agreeing with it. And once you start agreeing with it, it's only a matter of time when you start speaking it. And listen, oh God, please don't miss what I'm about to say. The indication that you agree with something is you start saying the same thing. If the enemy can convince you that you are sick, guess what? And he can get that mental picture in your mind that you're sick. Then guess what? His purpose now is to get it to come out of your mouth. Because once he can get it to come out of your mouth, he has now got a grip to get you bound by it. He can actually say, now I got to entrap me. Amen. So let's go to purposes of strongholds now. Now, this is the part we got to get to now, and then we're going to pray with this one. Hallelujah. Get ready. Number one, there's purposes to strongholds. There are certain purposes that lead to strongholds, okay? And I want you to write these down. I'm going to go slow so you can take good notes, because this is the good part we're going to get to this morning. Hallelujah. Number one. Strongholds, here you go, they create spiritual obstructions.
What?
I'm going to say it again. strongholds, they create spiritual obstruction. Spiritual obstruction.
Okay.
What that's spirit? Everybody say spiritual obstruction.
Spiritual obstruction.
Obstruction. Okay. Obstruction. I'm gonna clarify this. Spiritual obstruction. Now, what does that mean? It means this. What it means spiritual obstruction. It means this. If you leave strongholds undetected, and you don't discern them when they show up. If you leave strongholds undetected and in place, these strongholds will create obstacles and restrictions to you fully obeying God.
Can you say that one more time?
I'm going to say it again. If you leave strongholds, these strongholds, undetected, if you don't, when they show up, if you don't have the ability to discern them when they show up, they have the power to create obstacles and restrictions that will hinder your obedience to God. These strongholds, these spiritual obstructions, if the purpose of the enemy is to attack your ability to obey God.
Okay, good. That's good.
They're obstacles and restrictions that hinder your ability to fully obey God. Here you go. Now listen, in the area of your present assignment, there are obstacles and restrictions that will hinder you from obeying God in your present day assignment. It's the thing that God has called you to do. Whatever your present day assignment is, the enemy is going to put an obstacle or a restriction from you knowing what it is. And not only knowing it, but actually obeying the call of it.
All right. Start your step.
Yeah. Now, we're going deep. Okay. This includes attacks in the area of your finances. I'm going to tell you why. This includes attacks in the area of your finances when your finances are under attack. That prevents you, here you go, from tithing and giving. From tithing and giving. I'm going to tell you why. From tithing and giving. Why? Because without provision, you cannot fulfill your God-given vision. Without God bringing consistent provision in your life, you cannot fully fulfill the vision in your life. And the way we get provision is through our giving. That's why the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse in your giving. Amen?
Amen.
Without provision, you can't fully obey the vision. This is Judges chapter 6 and verse 3. Let's go there. Let me show you this in the Bible. I'm going to show you it in the Bible. Everything I show you, tell you, it's in your Bible. Let's go to Book of Judges. And I want Sister Teresa to read this.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Okay.
Judges, way back. Judges chapter, what did you say, Pastor?
Judges?
Yeah.
Chapter 6.
Six. Okay, verse.
And started at reading at verse 1.
At verse
all the
1.
Way, all the way to verse 3.
Excuse me. One. Okay. Judges chapter six.
Wait. Read all the way down to verse 5, because I want to see something.
Okay, Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1 to 5.
Yeah.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midian, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds.
Stronghold.
And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the Israelites came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the Israelites of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their tents and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were one number, and they entered into the land destroying.
Remember, so whenever they were sold, the enemy will have access to come in and destroy the produce.
Yeah.
Everything that they grow, the enemy will have access. See, one of the things that you understand about the children of Israel is that, again, whenever the children of Israel begin to disobey God or worship idols, whatever, God would actually allow them to go into captivity. Up to sometimes 70 years, they were going to captivity. And while they were in captivity, they would cry out to God. While they were in captivity in bondage, then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge, or he would raise up a prophet to bring deliverance. The judges were there to bring deliverance. The prophets were there to give them the information on how to get delivered.
Right.
Okay. The judges, when God raised up judges, it was actually to bring deliverance. Okay. But the prophets, when the prophets were raised up, the prophets would give them what God wanted them to do to actually bring them out of bondage. Okay. Okay, so the enemy would attack their produce or their finances, amen, whatever they, the harvest that they grew, okay? Let's move to the second one. Number two, okay, so we talked about number one.
I got a question on the first
instruction. So number one is they will create spiritual obstruction. Number two, it is, listen, these strongholds were designed to compromise your ability to stand in battle. I'm going to let you write that down. To compromise your ability to stand in battle. To compromise your ability to stand in battle. What do you mean? Here you go. Strongholds are designed to reduce your ability to stand and battle back against your adversary. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to say it again.
I didn't get the book.
Okay.
What book was it?
Ephesians chapter 6.
Ephesians, okay. Oh, yeah.
6, 10 through 18. Kathy, can you read that?
Did you want me to continue reading?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 6.
Verse 10 through 18.
All the way to. All right, and here's what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But continue?
Yeah.
Okay, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Stop right there. Now, notice one thing that a lot of people don't understand when they read the armor. They just read from 6 to verse 16, which means, and they don't see verse 18 is part of the armor. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, which means prayer is a part of that.
Yeah.
Not it's when, all when, these parts of the armor have to do with the word of God. But what people don't understand, prayer is included. Amen? So,
yes,
again, let's go back and look at something real quickly that I want to emphasize. Notice that the purpose of the battle is so you can stand, not fight. The purpose of you putting on your armor is so you can stand. You're supposed to be standing against the enemy. You're supposed to be standing and withstanding the enemy, not fighting the enemy. Why? Because Satan is already defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. So in other words, why are you trying to fight a devil that's already defeated? That is not your role. Your role is to stand. Your role is to withstand, to resist the influence and onslaught of the enemy. How do you do it? By standing in faith, by standing on the word, by declaring his word. And a lot of people, and I know religion taught us binding and all that. Yes, we do it. But let me tell you something. You are supposed to be standing now. You have to get to the point where you understand your adversary is an already defeated adversary. He's already defeated. And your responsibility in your standing and your declaring God's word, it just reminds him he's defeated. And see, when you come to this place, you'll begin to see shackles come off of your life. You'll be seeing areas where you're struggling, you'll be instantly delivered. Why? Because God wants to give you inside information that you have already acquired victory. You are already an overcomer. The Bible actually says you're what? More than a conqueror. The Bible doesn't call you a conqueror. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. So you, listen, people of God, you must renew your mind to the place of victory. Renew your mind to victory. Renew your mind, I have the victory. Quit saying what the devil's doing. Some people got the devil in their mouth more than God. Everything that comes out of the mouth, the devil is doing this, the devil is doing this. And listen, God ain't getting no glory out of that. How is God getting glory out of your mouth when every time you open your mouth is always what the devil was doing? Hello. Amen. Come on, say amen to this. Because this is what's called a defeated mindset.
Yeah.
When you start advertising what the devil is doing, you are already defeated. Why? Because you are actually empowering him and not actually defeating him. Amen? All right, let's move on. So we said number two is what? To compromise our ability to stand. Okay? Strongholds are designed to reduce your ability to stand in the battle. Stand in the battle. Okay, let's go to number three. Number three. To hinder us from becoming Christ-like. Strongholds have the ability to hinder us from becoming Christ-like. Write that down. To hinder us, strongholds have the ability to hinder us from becoming Christ-like. All right, we're going to look at two scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Kathy, can you read that? I want my wife to read this. 1
Thessalonians chapter 5.
All right. Can I be heard? Okay.
1 Thessalonians.
Chapter 5, 14.
14 and 15.
Okay. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Again, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
So this has to do, listen, this has to do with your conduct. These strongholds have the ability to attack your conduct and hinder your ability to be Christ-like. Your conduct, okay? Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 24. Ephesians 4. Four,
21 through 24. Ephesians 4:21 through 24. Oh, you want me to read it? Huh?
Yeah, go ahead. Read that. Ephesians 4:21 through 24. Now, remember, hindering your ability to be Christ-like. 4:21 through 24.
Hold on. Something's going on with my phone. Can I be heard?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Want me to read it? Have somebody else read it. I can't.
Okay,
I'm
going to read it. Okay, let me read it. Ephesians chapter 4, look what it says. I'm going to start at verse 20. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Notice, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, don't miss this, as the truth is in Jesus. Here it goes. That you, not God, notice, that you put off concerning your former what? Conduct. Remember what I said, it has to do with your conduct. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here you go. And be renewed in the spirit of what? The spirit of your mind. Oh, God, don't miss this, people of God. Be renewed how? In the spirit of your mind. Why? Because the battle begins in your mind. In other words, if the enemy can influence your mind, he can have access to your conduct, your behavior. In other words, if your mindset does not change, it's only a matter of time when your behavior will follow what you're thinking. Oh, people of God, you better hear what I just said. The reason why people are struggling in their behavior is because they're still bound in their mind. Your behavior will always follow your pattern of what you're thinking. Once the enemy has convinced you in your mind, it's only a matter of time, he's going to cause your behavior to follow.
Right.
So it's possible that you can have a stronghold in your mind, right?
Absolutely. So listen, let me tell you what the difference is. This is good. Now here's the part that I want to get to, okay? When you leave this stronghold unchallenged, or you don't discern it again, listen, it will hinder your purification and your development into Christ's likeness. I'm going to say that again. If you leave this stronghold unchallenged, if you don't challenge it, if you don't discern it, if you don't combat it, it will hinder your purification and your development into Christ's likeness. Why? Because, see, purity, listen, when you are walking in purity, the purity of God will bring the presence of God. The purity of God brings the presence of God. Everybody say that with me. The purity of God brings the presence of God.
Purity
of God will bring the presence of God. If you ever want to see God's presence become tangible in your life, then allow the Holy Spirit to cause purity to function in your life. Oh God, I'm gonna say it again. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you ever want to see the power and the presence of God in your life, you must allow the Holy Spirit to develop purity in your life. That's why, people, God, listen. That's why in this hour, in this season, you must be careful what you are watching, what you are entertaining, what you are looking at. What are you allowing in your ear gate? What you allowing in your eye gate?
Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus.
That has to do with movies you watching. That has to do with books you reading. Even the news. Yeah. CBS, ABC, listen, you can't let that stuff get so filtered in your spirit, people of God. Why? Because it comes in your mind, and it's only a matter of time it gets in your spirit.
Operates like faith.
Okay? And listen, whatever you're constantly hearing, you're developing faith for it. Whatever you're constantly seeing, you're developing that image in your behavior, in your conduct. So when you're struggling in a specific area, you have to wonder, God, what door did I open up? So listen, don't just start binding the devil. Don't say, whatever I bind you, no. You need to go in your mind and say, Lord, what door did I open up? Lord, forgive me. You need to find out whatever door you opened up and close that door, because you gave the enemy access to attack you. And once he is consistently attacking you in that area, it's only a matter of time he can develop a stronghold in that area, and you'll find yourself bound, and you'll find yourself oppressed. And before you know it, you're operating in gross darkness and wickedness. Man, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Praise the Lord. All right. Hello. Couple more minutes, then. Listen, then we're going to pray because we're going to close, okay?
Amen.
All right. Number four, and we're going to close with this one, and then I'll really get into something next week which you don't want to miss. Okay, number four, these strongholds, the purpose is to suppress your will for the purpose of controlling us. I'm going to say it again. To suppress your will for the purpose of controlling us. Remember, you and I are a triune being.
Mm-hmm.
You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. The real you is a spirit. Because the Bible says you're made in the likeness and the image of God. God is a spirit and so are you. Okay? Now, you have a soul. Everybody say, I have a soul.
I have a soul.
Now, the soul, here go. The soul is this. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and the attitude. Five parts. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your attitude. So, the enemy wants to suppress your will for the purpose of controlling. How does he do it? Here go. You ready for this? Here go. A suppressed will. The most important part of your soul is your will. Everybody say, the most important of my soul is my will.
Is my will.
Part of my soul is my will.
Why? That's the most important. Why? Because with your will is where you make decisions. And God has created each man with a free will. God will not violate that, okay? So a suppressed will create a stronghold that appeals to our unrenewed nature. I'm going to say it again. A suppressed will. Once the enemy come in and suppress your will, remember, this is what the adversary is trying to do in our nation right now by forcing people to accept the vaccine, okay? I'm using that as an analogy, okay?
Right.
A suppressed will. Whenever the enemy comes in, he comes to violate your will, okay? A suppressed will creates a stronghold that appeals to our unrenewed nature. So when the Bible talks about the flesh, he's not talking about this skin. He's not talking about your flesh, your body. He's not talking about the body. He's talking about the unrenewed mind, the unrenewed nature. He's talking about your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your attitude. The part that has not been what? Renewed by the word of God. Whatever is not renewed by the word of God is carnal. Did y'all hear what I just said? Whatever is not renewed by the word is the carnal part. It's the unrenewed nature. That's the unrenewed nature. That starts with your soul. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit is flawless. Your spirit is perfect. But
right.
Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions has to come under subjection of your spirit, man. That's why you, oh God, I got to go somewhere. That is so important. That's why every day you're going to have to feed yourself on the word. Whatever you're feeding is what will have access. Will have access to run your life. If you feed in your spirit, man, will control your body and control your soul. That's why, people of God, fasting is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're struggling in the area, don't just pray. Some of you need to fast. Some of you need to subject your soul to your spirit, man, by way of fasting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For a suppressed will creates a stronghold that appeals to our unrenewed nature. Listen, the mind, the will, the emotion, the intellect, and the attitude. Okay? Now, the one that the enemy really attacks the most is guess what it wants. It's my, but guess another one. Here it goes. The attitude. Everybody say my attitude. That's
my attitude.
Let this attitude, which was in Christ, also be in me. So in the area, here it go. I'm going to go somewhere. In the area of the attitude, the area that is the area that leads to you being captive by offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. When it comes to your attitude, it is the area that leads to captivity in the area of offense. The enemy's objective when it comes to your attitude is to get you offended.
Woo!
Jesus, help us, Holy Ghost. It's to get you offended. Get you offended on your job. Get you offended with the church. Get you offended in your marriage. Get you offended with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because if he can get you offended, he can get you in unforgiveness. And he can... Hey, and he can create a stronghold in your attitude, amen? And listen, we're going to get to this part next week, people of God, because when we get to offense, now listen, in this area of offense is an area that every one of us struggle with. We all get offended, amen? Come on, say amen to this. We all deal with this area of offense, but let me share something. What I'm going to share with you next week, I'm going to show you how to break this thing from being offended, because there are people right now that you are either offended with, you don't deal with no more. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, you cannot harbor unforgiveness. You can no longer harbor unforgiveness. Family members, whatever, friends, whatever, you cannot harbor this. And this is one of the things that the enemy is going to create one of the greatest strongholds in, to get you offended. To get you an offense, to get you attack another part of the body. And what you got to understand is when the body is not operating together, it becomes weak, and the enemy has access to come in. If he can get you to attack another part of the body, the enemy's purpose is to get you to attack another part of the body.
Wow. That's amazing.
To get you to attack another part of the body. Why? Why? Because you know what it does? It causes division. And division, and division is actually, the word division has to do with two visions. Man, I ain't got time to go into that. So we're going to actually go in prayer that everyone receive that. Amen?
Absolutely. Can I say something real quick? What just brought to my attention? Now, right before the pandemic, what was starting to happen? There was starting to happen a lot of offenses between the leaders.
Absolutely.
I don't know if y'all noticed that, but that's what gave access to the enemy to come in fully like he is. See, I mean, it took years to work on it, but that was the main. So what you're saying, I believe, is true.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely true. And see, these, listen, remember, because the enemy's purpose when it comes to offense, listen, is to get you focused on yourself. It's to get you focused on yourself. Why? Because that's what the enemy's ultimate objective was, to get you, listen, if he can get your focus off of him, he can get his focus on yourself. Because getting your focus on yourself is just as bad. What
he said,
hurts you? Man, they hurt me. They wound me. Through sin. And so this is the area, people of God, that we must now, the Lord told me this morning in prayer, he said, tell the people this is the area that they must willingly submit their wills to. You're going to have to forgive some people. You're going to have to release some people. You're going to have to say, Lord, I choose to forgive. I release whoever it is I'm offended with. And so we're going to pray this morning. Hallelujah. And guess what? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Sister Maury, thank you for joining us. Would you like to pray?
Amen.
When you get on here, hey, I'm going to call on you, amen, because prayer is it, amen. So when you come on, get ready to be a vessel used by God. So, Sister Maury?
Amen.
When you pray, okay. Real quick, you don't have to pray long. Just
pray in the area.
Now, we're dealing with the area of offense right now because this is the area the Lord wants to target, because the Lord said if this area is not attacked, then there will be strongholds developed.
All right. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, God. We give you glory. We give you honor. We praise you this day for this day that you have made. And we shall surely rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, Lord God, to learn of you, to receive your word for this day, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for the man of God, Lord, as he's leading us in teaching, Lord, and helping us to understand your word and to be, Lord God, your word says that you do not want us ignorant of the enemy's devices. So, Father God, I thank you that, Lord God, you are destroying the works of the enemy, Lord God, by exposing his strategies and the way that he works, Father God, and helping us to be, Lord God, all that you would have us to be, Lord God. So we are your daughters and your sons, Father God, and you would have us to operate as such, kingdom, Lord God, representatives, Lord God, being able to be ambassadors of your will and your way, Lord God. Your word says, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. And so, Father, as we pray, Lord God, concerning offenses, Father, we know that as we continue to do these things and learn, Lord God, Father, we will dismantle the works of the enemy. Father God, we become more aware. So, Father, we lift up offenses in people's lives right now, Father God, and we dismantle them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that we will no longer be bound by the things that cause us to be offended.
Yes.
We choose to forgive, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we choose to walk in love on a daily basis, Father. Yes, I thank you that we will lift up these things that have been in our hearts, Father God, whether they be childhood offenses or things that have occurred as we were young people, Father God, or whether it was something that happened at work this past week. Father God, whatever it is, Father God, each one of our hearts, we lift them up to you now. We come against, Lord God, the ability to be offended. Lord, we don't need to be offended because Christ is our defense. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the hedges of protection around our hearts, oh God, and around our minds, Father, in the name of Jesus. So we pull down those strongholds when we have thoughts that cause us to have an attitude or to say, I don't like her, I don't like what they did, Father God. We choose to stay in a vulnerable state, Father God, when the things have been done unto us that were not right or unrighteous, Father God. We choose to be in a place, Lord God, where we forgive. We ask you to forgive us, Father. And you said, how can we be in a place to ask you for forgiveness, Lord Jesus? You said, if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters that have offended us or have done something to us, Lord God, then you will not forgive us. So we ask you, Lord God, to give us strength so that we can continue to endure. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to strengthen us, Lord, and even where we feel completely justified because what they did was not right, it was unjust, Father. We ask you, Lord, to give us the ability to continue to forgive anyway. Help us, Lord God. Heal our hearts in Jesus' name. Help us, Father. Help us to surrender it unto you, Lord. You said vengeance is yours in Jesus' name. So, Lord, where we want to hold on to the offense because in one way or another we feel like or we think that we can get back to you in Jesus' name. Get back at them, God. We release it now in the name of Jesus. We let it go, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Help us, oh God. Help us to release it. Help us to release it in our minds. Help us, Lord God, to forgive. Help us to surrender it unto you. Help us to trust you and to know that your will shall be done, that your way is better, oh God. You will repay. Hallelujah. You will. You'll take care of it, God, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, by the power of your spirit right now in Jesus' name, hallelujah, we forgive and we release and we repent. We ask you for forgiveness as we forgive, Lord God. Help us to forgive others. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the sense of liberty right now. Hallelujah, yes. As we let it go, as we release yes. it. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God, that your power, the power of your spirit, Lord God, helps us to feel lighter, Lord, in Jesus' name. For we release that load. Hallelujah, we let it go. Yes. We release yes. it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bless your holy name and we thank you for God. And call it done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen and amen.
Hey, now, people, God, listen, I want to let you understand that prayer right there, that just took a load off for your life right now, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the woman of God just bound that up, okay? And we are free now. Now, listen, we're about to read, I want my wife to pray this. Now, I want us to pray, this is where I want you to pray, Kathy, and specifically, I want you to pray that we will become perfected in the love of God concerning our brothers and sisters. That's what I want. Okay? That's the way I want you to pray, Kathy, that we will become now perfected in the love of God. Again, why? Because the Bible says the love of God is in your heart. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So I want you to pray, Kathy, that we will become perfected in the love of God, and then we're going to close out for this morning, and we'll pick this up next week.
Father, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you for the release. Now we ask, Lord God, that you said you would perfect those things which concern us. And so, Lord God, we just lift our heart up to you, God. You said, out of our heart flows the issues of life. And so we're asking of you, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, allow the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our helper. You said you help us. And so we release, Lord God, out of ourselves for our brothers and sisters, even those who are not nice to us, those who things, Lord, that's not right. We give them to you, and we ask, Lord God, that you will heal them as well as ourselves, God. Help us to love our brothers and sisters, and even our enemies. That's what your word said, that we are to love even our enemies. So, Lord God, the love. Lord God, show us how to be kind to one another. Show us how to be, Lord God, forgiving one another. Show us, Lord God, how to do this according to your word. Help us to stand, Lord God, in your word and obey your word. You said, Lord, how do we know that? We are your disciples indeed, our love one for another. So, Lord God, develop this in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you, Lord. We believe and we receive. It is already done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Now, listen, I want to say this because I hear the Lord saying this to me. That, listen, there is some people on here. Listen. Like the woman of God says, listen, yes, this was injustice, what they did to you, but I'm telling you, when you walk in the love of God, the Bible declares that, listen, the love of God is what constrains us. The love of God is what gives us the ability to unwrap men from their flesh. Most people who are offended are people who are trapped by people's flesh. It will keep you looking at people's flesh and not their spirit. And so there is the spirit of liberty that has actually liberated you. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth have made you free. I'm declaring the truth that you heard today have actually freed you, have actually liberated you. So right now, I want everyone to lift up your hands, and I want you to declare this with me. Say, Father.
Father.
Right now.
Right now.
I thank you for liberty.
I thank you for liberty.
And I thank you for the ability to forgive.
I thank you for the ability to forgive.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I choose to walk in the love of God.
I choose to walk in the love of God.
I make the decision not to allow offense to harbor in my heart.
I make the decision not to allow offense to harbor in my heart.
And I thank you.
Thank you.
Because I have forgiven. There is no restriction on my worship. No, say that again. Because I have forgiven, there's no restriction on my worship. I believe I receive it.
I believe I receive it.
And I declare.
Whom the Son has made free is free indeed.
It's free indeed.
Devil, I'm free. Now say it with authority. Devil, I'm free. And I'm free indeed.
And I'm free indeed.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Now open up your mouth and give your God praise. You believe you received the word this morning. You express worship now. Remember, this is expression of your worship. If you believe you're free, now your expression is through your worship. Now worship, my God. Come on, worship. Take a moment right now and just worship.
Thank you for your
goodness.
Thank you for your freedom, Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. You're worthy.
Thank you, Father. You are good, God. Hallelujah. Come on, worship.
We bless you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for your freedom, God.
Thank you for liberty, Lord. Thank you for fighting my battles, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord God, you lift up a standard. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you freely, God.
Thank
you, Lord God. No restrictions.
I'm whole.
Hallelujah, yes, God. Thank you for
healing
in my heart. Thank
you
for strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've given us the spirit of fear, which gave us power, love, and
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me get everyone's attention.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me get everyone's attention. Hallelujah. Now, listen, people of God, I want to say this, and I want to say it with all boldness. There is now, I hear the Lord saying, there is now a sound mind. You have a sound mind. And I hear the Lord saying to tell you, because you are free now, that you are now going to receive from God new instructions, new directions concerning where he has now taken you. You have now just been promoted. You have now been elevated. You are now functioning on a whole nother dimension. Ain't no more levels, people of God. You are now focusing in realms and dimensions. Get ready for God to speak to you even while you're moving out throughout your day. Well done. You are going to hear it now, and you're going to hear it the day you stand before him. Why? Because God understands the power of forgiveness. Why? Because when he was on that cross, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I want you to notice, people, if Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do, don't you understand that when people offend you or hurt you or whatever, they don't know what they're doing? So it should be easier for you to release them because Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, how much can you do it? And guess what? He gave you the advantage. Why? Because you have now the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, who is your helper. In Jesus' name, does anyone have any remark or prayer request at this time as we get ready to close?
I have a praise report.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Come on with it. Hallelujah. That's what I want to hear.
This is so wonderful. I fully expected it from my Lord. My great-grandson, who is being woven in the womb right now, and I will be a great-grandma in December. That blemish, that blot, that cyst that was a time spring, gone. Praise Thank you, Lord, because he is the one who always says yes and amen.
Come on. Hallelujah.
He is wonderful, Lord. He is God. He is wonderful and marvelous. And I love him so much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Lord, I know y'all still meditate. Anyone was blessed by the word this morning?
Yes, I was.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. There's no other prayer requests or any thoughts?
I pray for the kids at school. My brother, one of his classmates says it. Positive for COVID-19. So, we just want to keep the kids lifted up and the teachers as well in school.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. All right, people of God, again, I want to remind you, listen, if you have been blessed by the word or you're blessed during this series, listen, also, if you haven't listened to the rest of the series in this area, if you miss any of them, you can go to the website, ignitefiretoday.com, and listen to the other teachings on there. I will be putting this one up on the website today, so you'll be able to go back and listen to it again. These calls are recorded, so sometimes you need to go back and listen to the word again and again, because there are some things that you will get the second time even more. There's always, listen, people, God, one thing you got to understand about revelation, revelation knowledge is progressive. You grow more and more in revelation knowledge, amen, as you meditate on the word. So as you go back through these scriptures and meditate, God is going to give you further revelation on present things that you are presently dealing with and how to get free from it, how to get liberated, and allow the word of God to become one in your spirit. Again, I'm asking everyone, again, the Lord told me to do this. If you've been blessed by the word in any area of our life, our ministry, please, if you can go to the website, ignitefiretoday.com, and I've asked people to do this, go in and share a brief testimony of how the word impacted you so we can get this word out. Amen. It helps us on our website, and it helps us get the word out because we want to grow our prayer line, and so we want people to not just come in and know that there's a good word, but that people's lives are being impacted by it. So please, today, if you can, go to the website, ignitefiretoday.com, and click on About Us, and you can just submit a quick testimony on there. It's already set up for you to do it, so you don't have to do a lot of writing in there. There's a way that's already set up for you to just fill in the information. So please, if everyone can do that today, I know people are busy. In your busy schedule with your anointed self, go and put your testimony on today.
Hallelujah.
I need it. I appreciate it. And what you're doing is you're actually helping me obey God. Amen. I don't want to get in trouble with God. God told me to do it. So I need your help in getting this done. So please go to the website and do that. Amen. And listen, I want to thank everyone that came out for our Global Ministry of Intercession. Thursday. It was absolutely amazing. The word was rich. It was recorded. It's on Facebook. Go and listen to that, and I promise you it will bless you. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for every person on this call. I declare now, Father, that they are walking in a whole new revelation of liberty. In the name of Jesus, I bless their day today. I declare that their day is blessed. I thank you that no sickness, no disease, no COVID can test them today. They are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and they're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 in the right hand, but it will not come near them. Only with their eyes shall they behold the rewards of the wicked, O God. For they are covered by the blood, they are covered by the word, and they are covered by prayer. I bless them, and I declare their day is blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. People of God, listen, you have a magnificent, wonderful day. Again, don't forget, I'm going to let the wife, she has an announcement, and so I'm going to let her share that, and then you are dismissed.
Thank you so much, everybody, for being on the call, especially those who had not been on the call for the previous months. I appreciate you. Thank you. And I also want to say, you know, start sharing this. You don't want to just keep it to yourself. Come on, let's give it away. Hallelujah. So you can get more. But my what I want to tell you is the ladies on October 7th, 2021, at 7 p.m., the women are getting together, and we are having a prayer meeting called Wailing Women in White. We want you to come out if you can. Bring a friend. We're going to pray for the men and the children. Amen? The men and the children. And we are all going to come dressed in white, which represents purity and the dove of the Holy Spirit. So like the man of God said today, when we come in our purity, then we're going to experience the presence of God and the power of God to go to work. We need to lift up the men because we're the Deborah. We're pushing Gideon in his place, amen, because it's been too long where it's just women upholding the church. No, we need the men to be in place so also that the children and, you know, and everything will be in place. Amen. So I want you to go and register when you go and give your testimony. Make sure you go register. Possibly it may be, no, I'm not even going to tell you that. Just come, okay? Bring your friends, bring your enemies, bring all the women that you know, and wear your white, and bring your photos of your loved ones so we can pray over them. And lay hands on the pictures, amen. Bring the pictures so we can pray in agreement, amen. And so we're going to have awesome worship, and we're going to have Maury. She's going to render her dance and movement unto the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you to go register now, amen. Don't wait. Don't delay. Go now. Amen. All right.
Amen. God bless you, people of God. Again, next week, we're going to be really getting further into this era, in the era of offense, people of God. And listen, I want you to go and find some people who you know are offended, and I want you to get them on the call for next week. God bless you. Have a blessed day tomorrow at church. Don't forget to go to church and worship your God. Amen. God bless you, everyone. You are dismissed. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a blessed day.
I'm with you all.